May I help you?
Yes, operator. With a change of time from daylight back to standard, could you tell me what program is on at 4 o'clock?
Just a minute. Say, Mabel, what program's on today at 4 o'clock?
I don't know, Gertrude. I'll look it up in this radio guy.
Hold it, Mabel. Hold it.
Huh?
Look whose picture's on page 8.
Well, take off my glove and dial with my naked finger if it ain't that. He's not only handsome, but look at that strong chin. What character!
Some character. One night last week, he drove me up to Mulholland Drive, pulled over to a lonely spot, turned off the ignition, and said, "Well, what do you know? I'm out of here."
No.
Yeah. So I said, "I'll be very happy to buy some."
I'll bet that embarrassed him.
Embarrassed him nothing. He siphoned the gallon out of his tank and sold it to me. But you know, Mabel, you can't stay mad at a man like Jack Benny. Just look at that picture. The way he's standing there so casual and nonchalant with his coat thrown over his arm.
Yeah. And just look at those muscles.
Muscles where?
On the floor. They fell out of his sleeve.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Yes?
Operator, this is Jack Benny.
Gertrude, what's the matter?
He's waiting for applause.
I'm not waiting for applause. I'm in my dressing room. Now, operator, with the change of time today, I'd like to check my watch. What time is it, please?
It's 20 minutes to 4.
20 minutes to 4? That's funny. I got 20 minutes to 3.
Hold on. Mabel, what time have you got?
20 minutes to 5.
No, honey. You moved your watch ahead an hour, and you're supposed to move it back. See, are you dumb?
Well, I'm not as dumb as Jack Benny. He didn't move it at all.
How pretty. His muscles fell out of his sleeve.
Operator, I heard that, and I'm going to report you. That Gertrude thinks she's smart. The last time I give her Ethel for the price of regular. Now, let's see. Where did I put my... So you finally got here.
Hello, boss.
Rochester, you know I'm always nervous before doing a program. Why do you have to be late?
Late? I got 20 minutes to 2.
Well, no wonder our watches are all mixed up, and it's your fault.
My fault?
Yeah, what were you supposed to do at 2 o'clock this morning?
What I always do. Tiptoe into your room and put a hot water bottle on your feet.
Is that all you did?
Well, I must confess, boss, I tickled your toes a little.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah, when I saw the way you had your arms around that pillow, I figured you were expecting something.
Rochester, I always sleep with my arms around the pillow.
I know, but last night you looked at it and said, "Don't you think two can live as cheap as one?"
See, I do the silliest things in my sleep. I can understand putting my arms around a pillow, but talking to it. Rochester, why didn't you wake me up?
I hate to cut in, boss. You were dancing.
Well, Rochester, I'm going down to the hall to Miss Livingston's dressing room. I'll see you later. Gee, but it's great after being out late, walking my pillow back home. Mary, are you in there?
Just a minute, Jack. I'm not dressed yet.
Oh, Pauline.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
Mr. Benny wants to come in. Help me into my dressing room.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Livingston, how long has he been on your program?
Well, Pauline, it isn't my program. It's Mr. Benny's, and Mr. Benny's a star. I just work for him, and he pays me a very nice salary. Not as much as I pay you, but a very nice salary.
My dress look.
Mm-hmm. It's all right, Miss Livingston. But if I were you, I'd wear it a little shorter.
You have such pretty legs.
Oh, well, thanks, Pauline.
It's too bad you only have two of them.
What?
Well, what I mean is, When you get something so nice, it's too bad you can't have more of it.
Well, believe me, Pauline, every girl who has nice legs is perfectly satisfied with just two of them. After all, who'd look at a girl with three legs?
Everybody.
Mary, how about it?
Just a minute.
I don't know why it takes women so long to get dressed. Men don't take that long. Rochester throws me together in 5 minutes. Sometimes quicker.
Oh, Jack, Jack.
Oh, Bob. Bob, I thought you were on stage rehearsing the band.
Well, I stood it just as long as I could.
What do you mean?
Well, Jack, when I agreed to take over the same orchestra that you always had, I didn't know what I was getting into. What? These guys are driving me nuts.
Why? Why, what's wrong?
Well, look. In the first place, I'm stuck with an electric guitar player whose nose lights up.
I know.
Yeah, but there's a trombone player who's chained to the guy sitting next to him.
Look, Bob.
And a drummer with a candle on his head because it's his birthday.
Bob.
And I'm not even going to mention the accordion player who cracked peanuts in the pleats.
Well, Bob, just have patience. I'm sure that...
Oh, Mr. Benny.
What is it, Dennis?
John Wilson is looking all over for you. You should have started your program 15 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago? I got a quarter after three.
I've got a quarter after four.
Dennis, what does your watch say?
Boulevard.
I don't mean that. Anyway, kids, if we're 15 minutes late, we better get out on the stage.
Jack, where have you been? Hurry.
Look, Don, this is not my fault.
But the program.
Don, daylight saving time got me mixed up, but we still have plenty of time to do the sketch. So just take it easy.
Jack, which sketch are we going to do?
We're going to do a satire on that wonderful picture, High Noon, which starred Gary Cooper. I am going to play the leading role.
You don't even know what time it is.
Oh, quiet. Don, turn to page 12 and introduce our play.
Okay, Jack.
Bob, is the orchestra ready?
Well, some of the boys are sitting up.
Good. Take it, Don.
Ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction of the evening, we're going to present our version of that epic of the West, the Stanley Kramer production of High Noon. The time is the year 1875. The place, the little town of Hadleyville. The scene is in the office of the Justice of the Peace.
I'm the town marshal, and my name is Gary King. This is my wedding day. Yep. Right at this moment, I'm a-getting married to my sweetheart, Amy.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling. On this I'm wedding. Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
Do you, Amy, take this man, Gary, to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Do you, Gary, take Amy for your lawful wedded wife? Yep. Now, repeat after me, Amy. I, Amy, take ye, Gary, to love, honor, and cherish.
I, Amy, take ye, Gary, to love, honor, and cherish.
Now, you, Gary. I, Gary, take thee, Amy, to love, honor, and cherish. I, Gary, take thee, Amy, to love, honor, and cherish. And with all my worldly goods I thee endow. And with... Come on, repeat it. And with all my worldly goods I thee endow. Ah, Gary, take thee, Amy, to love, honor, and cherish.
Yes, I even had to buy the ring.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Gary, my husband.
Amy, my bride. Kiss me. It's customary for the Justice of the Peace to get the first kiss. Stand aside, Amy. The man wants to kiss me.
I mean...
Come on, Mary. Amy. Then Mary is playing the part of Amy. Let's get going on our honeymoon.
Gee, Jerry, I'm so glad you're going to give up your job as marshal and put those awful guns away.
Yes, Amy. Now we can have a peaceful life.
Marshal! Marshal!
Yeah, what's up?
Terrible news. Frank Miller's been released from jail.
No.
Yeah, and he's arriving in town at high noon.
High noon?
Yes, high noon, and three of his henchmen are waiting at the railroad station to meet him.
Where are my guns? And I better swear in some deputies. I gotta get Frank Miller before he gets me.
Yeah, tell me, what's this all about?
Amy, 5 years ago, I arrested Frank Miller and sent him to jail. He vowed he'd kill me when he got out. So I gotta get him first.
But, Jerry, you may be killed. I don't want to become a widow on my wedding day. I want to go on a honeymoon.
Look, Amy, I can't run away. You wouldn't want to be married to a coward, would you?
I'd do anything to get out of the May Company.
It was then I realized that Amy fell sideways with May. But I had my duty to perform, even if it meant losing Amy. I went outside and walked the hot, dusty, deserted streets, looking in vain for men to serve as deputies.
Oh, to be torn with love and duty, supposing I lose my fair-haired beauty. Look at that big man move along, near in high noon. He made a vow while in state prison, that would be my life for him.
I went everywhere looking for deputies. I went to their homes, to the general store, and I went to the town saloon. In fact, we had a scene in the saloon. But we cut it because Bill Harris is on another network. Finally, I went looking for desperate Dennis McNulty, a man who had been my assistant. Suddenly, I saw him. He came riding towards me.
Whoa, whoa, easy now, easy, old Pete.
Never had the heart to tell him. He rode that cow everywhere. In fact, he was the man who originated the white line down the middle of the street. He dismounted and said,
"Hi, Gary. Congratulations. I hear you just got married."
"That's right, I did."
"Who'd you marry? School teacher?"
"No, why?"
"You always do in Westerns."
"Look, I haven't time to talk about that. I'm in trouble, Frank. I'm in trouble. Frank Miller's coming back in town to kill me." "I need help." "Also a rehearsal."
"You sure do." "Came to the right man. I'll help you."
"You will? Sure you're not afraid?"
"Of course not. When I see Frank Miller, I'll sneak up behind him."
"Uh-huh."
"And I'll stick my gun in his back and say, 'Feet up.'"
"You mean hands up?"
"No, feet up. Had him on the popo."
"What?"
"Let's hear him laugh."
"As I left him, he turned the cow over on his back and was milking it. Looked like the fountain at Wilshire and Santa Monica." I kept walking on through the town looking for help. The streets were deserted. It was getting close to high noon, and I had to find somebody to deputize. So I just kept walking, walking, walking.
Tell us, 10 minutes.
running short. Still, I could find no one to help me. I was a marked man. No one would even come near me. This was before the days of chloroform. I didn't know what to do. In my search for help, I wandered down to the Mexican Quarter. I came upon a group of people who were having a fiesta. Meeting a deputy sadly, I approached one of the men and said,
"Pardon me, senor, but do you know who I am?" "You know there's a man out to kill me?" "Would you be willing to help me?" "What's your name?"
"Ty."
"Ty?" "Now you. You, senorita, are you a sister?" "Is it all right for your brother to help you?" "What's your name?"
"Conchita Guadalupe Lolita Hernandez Gonzalez Carita, the Prada Ramona Rosita Ramirez."
"Conchita Guadalupe Lolita Hernandez Gonzalez Carita del Prado Ramona Rosita Ramirez?"
"Yes."
"But that name is too long. What can I call you?"
"Sue."
"Sue?" "But I was talking to her, wasn't I?"
"Yes."
"What do you do for a living?"
"Doll."
"So?"
Conchita Guadalupe Lolita Hernandez Gonzalez Clarita del Prado Ramona Rosita Ramirez getting killed. Would drive the tombstone maker nuts. Now I had to make up my mind. I wasn't going to wait for Miller to come looking for me. I decided to go down to the railroad station and wait for him.
He made a vow while in state prison, thought it would be my life or his. I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what will I do if you leave me?
I reached the railroad station. Frank Miller's train was due to arrive at high noon. With only a few minutes to wait, I went inside.
"Train now loading on track 5 for Anaheim, Camunga."
I was alone in the station except for one cowboy. Thinking I could make him a deputy, I went over to talk to him.
"What's your name, partner?"
"Tex Crosby."
"Tex, eh? Then you were born in Texas."
"No, I was born in Louisiana, but ain't nobody gonna call me Louise."
"That's an old joke."
"Well, it was new in 1875.
"Oh, yes. What are you doing here anyway, Tex?"
"Well, I'm waiting for Frank Miller to arrive. We're going to kill the town marshal."
"Oh, you are, eh? Well, I'm the town marshal, and I'm going to kill you."
"Train now leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Coop."
"I'll give you a fighting chance. When I count 3, draw on 2.
"Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Oh!
Among
us." "I got you, Tex."
"Oh! Oh! Oh!"
As he lay there, he reminded me of his brother. He was a groaner, too. Gotten rid of one of the killers. The high noon train pulled into the station. It came to a stop. Frank Miller got off the very last car and was met by his two remaining henchmen. "This was my deal with death." fell a lonely silence as I walked toward the three men who wanted to kill me. Alone in the blazing noonday sun with my hands on my gun, slowly I kept it going toward me. My clumsy sound man got up and I continued walking. My hands were sweating. My throat was dry. I knew that within 1 minute, either they or I would be dead. As soon as I got within pistol range, I drew my gun and fired. Yep. I killed all three of them. Without giving them a chance to talk. This wasn't the way it was done in the picture. But I know how to save money on actors. I was safe now. My only problem was whether to ask my wife to come back to me and go looking for Conchita Guadalupe, Lolita Hernandez, Gonzalez Carita del Prado, Ramona Rosita Ramirez. But regardless of the mix-up in daylight saving time, I and the whole town knew it was high noon.
So good night, folks.